Gospel reading for this morning comes to us from Matthew, beginning in Matthew chapter 4, beginning in the first verse. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter, he came and he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him at the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Temptation is an odd thing, because we all deal with temptations, and we all struggle with our sinful desires. We all cave in to sinning. And it's interesting how all of us deal a little bit differently with our temptations. Some people try to pretend that they don't have any temptations or that they don't have any struggles in this world, or they feel like their sin isn't really that bad. Or we try to justify ourselves by pointing out other people's sin so that we don't deal with our own sin. It's so easy to look at the Hollywood elite and say, "Well, at least I'm not paying $500,000 bribes to get my underachieving child into a university." Or we just try not to think about sin. Or we try to say, sin is kind of a strong word. Let's not use that word. One of the most common questions that pastors get asked about what is a sin, or the question is usually, "Pastor, is it a sin to be tempted?" And in a nutshell, the answer is no. Temptation, though, it becomes sin when we entertain those thoughts, when we entertain those desires, or we take action upon them. Just because Satan or someone tempts you or gives you a suggestion to sin doesn't mean that you are necessarily sinning. In the gospel lesson today, Satan came to Jesus three times. The first time, in the first temptation, it was to try to make Jesus some kind of a bread king so that he could satisfy the world's desires. In the second temptation, it was to make Jesus a magician, someone that was impressing people with some kind of razzle-dazzle. The third temptation was to make Jesus a political leader or a political ruler. You see, Satan's goal was to keep Jesus away from the cross. If Jesus was some sort of political leader or a political ruler, that was okay with Satan. If Jesus was some kind of a magician or a famous person, that was fine with Satan. If people loved Jesus because he gave them food or healing, that was okay with Satan as well. But what was unacceptable to the devil was that Jesus would resist the temptation to fall to sin and then go to the cross and then die as a perfect substitute for this world's sins. Jesus' reaction to Satan's temptation was totally different than how you often react to Satan. When Satan comes to you or his demons, you normally completely crumble. But Jesus, he never crumbled. He always refuted Satan with God's word. And you also need to refute your devilish desires with the Word of God. As well, you should always follow God's commandments with your life. But let's be real. No matter how much Bible you have memorized, you still fall to temptation. No matter how much Bible you have read in your life, you still fall to temptation. But when you know the gospel, when you know the gospel and its contents, you're freed from the devil, you're freed from sin, and you're freed from Satan's power over you. But don't hear what I am not saying. I'm not saying that you don't need to read or study or memorize the Bible. I'm not saying that you don't have to fight your sinful temptations. But what I'm saying is that the only true freedom that you will have from sin and the temptations of this world is found in the gospel and in the work of Jesus Christ. When I talk about the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, became man to do for you what Adam failed to do, to trust in God's word alone. The first Adam, he completely failed in the garden. He did not obey God's word. He disobeyed it. He broke God's word. But Jesus Christ, who was the perfect Adam, perfect man, he perfectly obeyed and trusted God's word alone. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, St. Paul wrote, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Jesus did for you what you could not do. He resisted Satan. He resisted sin. And he fulfilled the law for you. No matter what you do in this life, you will struggle with sin. It's in your nature to enjoy sin. It's in your nature to complain. It's in your nature to gossip. It's in your nature to think negatively about other people, but wonderfully about yourself. It's in your nature to be selfish with your time, to be selfish with your money, to be selfish with your emotions. It's in your nature to disagree and not like your boss, or to think poorly of him or her, and to rebel against God. Before I was a Lutheran, whenever I would hear a sermon on this portion of Scripture about the temptation of Jesus, the message was always about how Jesus served as an example for you to follow, that Jesus was the great example of overcoming sin. But there's so much more to this gospel lesson than Jesus is an example to us. The good news is not that Jesus has been given as an example of a perfect life. If it was just that, it would be law. But the good news is that Jesus has resisted the devil, that Jesus has resisted sin, and that Jesus has resisted temptation, but that it was done for you. By Jesus actively obeying the law of God, Jesus has fulfilled the law for you. St. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, but by one man's obedience, the many were made righteous." So in short, your spirituality, your Christianity, it's not about you. The Christian faith isn't about how good of a spouse or a husband or a wife that you are. The Christian faith is not about how hard you work here at the International Center. Christianity is not about how much Bible you read or how much time you spend in your daily morning devotion. Christianity is not about how many great, wonderful, kind things that you do for others. The heart of the faith is about the good things that Jesus has done for you. You are a Christian because of Christ. You are a Christian because Jesus lived a sin-free life that you could not live. Jesus was the perfect child who always obeyed his authorities. Jesus sacrificed all things perfectly. Jesus never fell to the devil's tactics, and he died perfectly for you. Let me read that passage again from Galatians. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." So during these next 30 or so days of Lent, it's important for all of us to remember that the Son of God became man to do for us what Adam failed to do, to trust in God's word alone. We should remember that Jesus defeated Satan by remaining faithful to God's word as it led him to suffer and die for your salvation. And we can remember that God's word defends us against Satan's temptations, and it gives us Jesus' victory over the devil. And we can remember our baptism during this Lenten season, that God has taken away your sins. He has washed them away. And not only has he washed away your sins, but he has given to you the perfection and the righteousness of Christ. So now, as your heavenly Father, he no longer sees you as a sinner, but as a child who has been wrapped in the pure, spotless robe of Jesus' righteousness. Now may this grace, which surpasses all understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.